Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Blowhard Tuesday. Welcome to the Savage Nation with Fats Domino sitting in for Michael Savage. Everyone thinks it's Monday. I didn't put my garbage out because I thought it was Monday and they come Tuesday. Now I got garbage. I got to call for the extra pickup. It is after Labor Day. We're all here. Personalities are in the news. Steve Fawcett, plane with adventurer Steve Fawcett missing. I don't know who he is. I never heard of him. I never heard of the man. Who are these billionaires today? These billionaire pests who must always be in the news. Now, they have a picture of him in the USA Today website. He looks like a combination of Larry Craig and Rush Limbaugh. Maybe Steve Fawcett, the billionaire adventurer who looks like a combo of Rush Limbaugh and Larry Craig, got caught foot tapping in an ET bathroom and has been whisked away by Saturnians. Then Jerry Lewis. The man can do no good. He raises $62 million for muscular dystrophy. He says half of the F word, and the gay mafia goes into overdrive. There's not a newspaper or website in the world that isn't asking, did Jerry Lewis go over the edge? Comedian goes over the edge. He goes over the edge. He made a slur. He slurred the gay community. How about the $61 million he raised for MS or muscular dystrophy instead of what you people do, which is raise nothing for anybody? Drudge, I see, flies a lot. Bush cries a lot. I found the place that makes the best meatballs in San Francisco. I found the best Chinese restaurant in San Francisco. So all in all, I'm batting about 500. That's all. Things are not bad. Because as Mom said, at the end of the day, it all comes down to a good meatball or a good Chinese meal. But the rest is, there's no help for it. Congress has a 14% approval rating. Bush must be in the high 20s, low 30s, depending upon the weather. Whether global warming is in the news or not, it fluctuates between 28 and 32. And the Senate and House. So the Democrats come to office saying they're going to be the most trustworthy gang in history. If you go onto MichaelSavage.com, you'll see that Feinstein took in $382 million in earmarks. That's pork barrel spending. She's the number one porker. Mirtha, the war hero who attacked our troops and called them Nazis, is wallowing in the $186 million range. Boxer, $152 million. Little Bobby. Pelosi, $141 million. Obi, $96 million. Hoyer, $85 million. You Democrat lying frauds, you. You Democrat lying frauds, you. All you people who think that they're better than the Republicans. And I looked into the San Francisco supervisors who attacked me, except for Ed Jew, the Chinese-American. A good portion of them are carpetbaggers like Amy Hoboken, New Jersey. And he has the nerve to call Ed Jew a third-generation Chinese-American and non-resident. A few of the other ones come from Berkeley, another one from New Jersey, and they're calling an Asian-American who they don't like, and I'll tell you why they don't like him. They didn't like him before me. They don't like him because he wouldn't vote with them on issues they have no business voting on. He also wants to lower the taxes, the amount of money spent in the city. He wants potholes fixed. He doesn't want pot given out to children. And so when they passed the resolution in this demented, sick city filled with mutants running the place, we only have mutants running this city. These mutants called supervisors. These mutants called supervisors try to pass an anti-war resolution. And this same guy, Ed Jew, would not vote. He said, I'm not in favor of the war necessarily, but it's not our business to vote about the war. We're San Francisco supervisors. It's up to Congress to vote on war issues. But these egomaniacal mutants have been after him now for quite a while, and they invented a story that he didn't live in his house in the district he represents. Well, guess what old Mike found out? These rat bums should be sent to jail for violating Ed Jew's civil rights. See, Ed Jew was married to a beautiful woman, also Chinese-American. She had a double mastectomy several years ago. And while she was recovering from breast cancer surgery, Mr. Peskin, you rat, you. Mr. Peskin, you would have been very happy wearing a red commie uniform in Russia, you little rat, you. These rats, Ed Jew, for accompanying his wife to his mother-in-law's house while she recovered from a double mastectomy, and they have sicked this demented district attorney, this fraudulent district attorney, who will not prosecute cop killers, Kamala Harris, who will not prosecute cop killers. They're prosecuting this man, Ed Jew. There is racism here. He is the only Asian-American on the board. These are people who hate Asians, and they're showing that they hate Asians. And they're getting away with it because Phil Brown knows, who owns the Chronicle, does everything they tell him to do. They're all one in the same little gang. If there was a fair and just country, these people would be taken out in handcuffs for what they're doing to him. Can you imagine persecuting a man who goes to his mother-in-law's house while his wife's recovering from a double mastectomy? And they say, now you're out of the district, we're going to throw you out of office because we want that seat for one of us, one of our little Marxist goose steppers. Now, why am I making an issue of this San Francisco supervisor? For a few reasons. One, he was the only one who voted to preserve my freedom of speech. But they're continuing to harass him. They even have enlisted the FBI to investigate him, to show you how sad and how corrupt this city is, that they could get the FBI to go after Ed Jew. I am surprised that the Asian community doesn't rise up and 500,000 of them don't go to City Hall with drums and martial arts groups and dragons like they do on the Chinese New Year's Day. I'm shocked that the young Chinese and the old Chinese don't get together and show their force in this city and say we will not take this racism and scare the dress off Ammiano and scare the beard off Peskin. It's disgusting. Disgusting. So these are some of the stories. The Democrat gang came to power saying that they were not corrupt. And Feinstein has taken in $382 million into her district. Murtha, $186 million. Box, $152 million. Pelosi, $141 million. Obie, $96 million. Hoy, $85 million. And Duke Cunningham, who did is doing 8.5 years for taking a broken Rolls-Royce and a half a broken yacht. That's the world we live in. And we the people, you know, there's no wonder that you have no faith in government. None. None. And then we open up the newspaper today. There's a new biography out about Bush. He says he cries a lot. That's just what the world needed to hear, is that Bush cries a lot. Another one. I don't know about you. I don't cry a lot. I have the world on my shoulders. I don't sit down crying to anybody. Once in a while, a tear will come over my eye when I think about some sad things that happened there. Not even to me, to others. I just said crying. What kind of president cries a lot? I don't want to know he cries. I've got God's shoulder to cry on, and I cry a lot, President Bush admits. Why would he say this? Are you telling me that when he finally leaves, he's going to put on a pink tie, and he's going to do the George Tenet act on the way out, and then go on the lecture circuit? How could Bush do the lecture circuit after he's out of office? I want to know. Maybe Mexico, El Salvador, Nicaragua. I could see him doing the lecture circuit down there, but it's not as lucrative. He can't get $100,000, $200,000 a speech down there. They might give him like 50 pesos if he comes down to a busted down town hall somewhere in Nicaragua for opening the borders to the illegal aliens, but they're not going to give him $100,000. Am I talking to myself? Is anyone here? Look what I talked about in the first few minutes. Steve Fawcett, the billionaire, disappeared. I said he looks like a combination of Larry Craig and Rush Limbaugh. Maybe he got caught foot-tapping in an extraterrestrial bathroom and was whisked away by extraterrestrials. Jerry Lewis raises $60 million for sick children with muscular dystrophy. And the gay mafia goes crazy because he said the F-word, a half of the F-word. Drudge flies a lot, so he's losing his radio show. comma, allegedly, period. Bush cries a lot. Meatballs I found in Volare. Volare on Columbus Avenue in San Francisco. It's true my friend Giovanni owns it. I haven't been in there in a while. He was away I don't know where he was, but he's back. I had a meatball in there, half a meatball. I'm on a new diet. He said his mother taught him the recipe. I don't care if it's true or not. It's unbelievable. Shanghai 1930, far and away the best Chinese food in the city. Very elegant. Set up like a 1930s, restaurant in China. It's unbelievable. So there are places to go. Unfortunately, I don't think that the supervisor can afford to eat in either place because they only make $16,000 a year. How do they make a living? And why do they want that job? Why would Mr. Peskin want a job that pays so little? And what are these allegations running around San Francisco about buying and selling real estate at below market value in a high market? What is this all about? And why are they persecuting the only Asian American on the Board of Supervisors, the only Asian American who was out of his district while his wife was recovering from a double mastectomy? Let me tell you something. If any of you are cancer survivors, if any of you are in the cancer survivor business, you should march on the Board of Supervisors and spit in their face for picking on a man who had the decency to accompany his wife during her recovery from a double mastectomy. That's what Ammiano did. The gay rights advocate. He hates women that much. And Peskin, he hates women that much that he would attack Ed Jew while he's out of his district for his wife's double mastectomy. And the other prizes sitting there on the Hall of Shame. Go on to michaelsavage.com and click on the picture. Tell me why Bevan Dufty, born in New York, New York, thinks that Ed Jew, a third-generation Chinese-American whose grandfather came here in 1913 and opened a flower shop. Tell me why Bevan Dufty thinks he's more of a San Franciscan than Ed Jew. Or Jake McGoldrick, place of birth unknown. Or Ross Mirkarimi, born in Chicago. Or Chris Daly, born in Maryland. Or Gerardo Sandoval, whose birthplace is unknown. We cannot find out where he was born. Why are these carpetbaggers in such a position of power that they think they can pick on a native San Franciscan, Chinese American, who leaves his office for a year to live with his wife while she's recovering? How do they think they can get away with this? Are the people in this city this sick? I'll be back. Savage. It is the Savage Nation. We're all sitting here in wonderment how long this great experiment called America can go on with the kind of leadership that we don't have and with the kind of corruption that we do have. You know, we don't know which way to turn. I was thinking about it. There was an article this morning about, we know about the corruption of Congress and the earmarks and the corruption and the money, how much of that money is going not to the war but to donors, if not to spouses in the case of some famous senators whose husbands have companies that do business for the Pentagon. You know, they should go to prison. In a more sane time, they would be in jail. The senator, the husband, the senator and the wife, they'd be in prison for this. It's unheard of. It's unheard of that a country would let this go on. But because one hand washes the other, one hand preserves the other. Then I read an article, sharp increase in diagnosis of bipolar disorder in children, and they're prescribing more drugs for the kids. You and I both know there's no such thing as bipolar disorder. You know it's an invention. It is a diagnosis that was made up by the drug companies in cahoots with pediatricians who don't make much money. They're the lowest income of all doctors are pediatricians because they don't have much to prescribe. But with the advent of these fake disorders, they now can prescribe drugs, so they feel like real doctors. It's sickening. It is sickening to see what the medical establishment has become, the religious establishment. Do you have faith in the religious establishment? No, but you see, it's like you have faith in God, but not the religious establishment in most cases. You have faith in the U.S. Constitution and the institution of government, but not the men and women necessarily running it. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, you have to analyze, how did it get this way? How did it reach such a point of apathy amongst the people that we would put up with this, number one? And number two, how did we get people in so many places of power, whether it be medicine or politics, or virtually sports, Michael Vick with the dogs. Wherever you turn, it's a breakdown of our society. Now you come to a local area like San Francisco. Here's the only Asian American, Ed Ju, and you've got carpetbaggers, big mouth carpetbaggers from Berkeley, from New Jersey, from Chicago, screaming, "You're not a resident." The guy's grandfather came here from China in 1913, opened a flower shop. This man runs a little flower shop, and because they own Phil Brownnose and the San Francisco Chronicle, they try to turn him into some secret Chinese mafioso. It's sickening what they're doing to him. I'm sick of it. They should go to jail. They should be put in handcuffs and taken out of that stinking, fetid city hall if they rot it up. Akron, Ohio. Roz, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I agree with you 100%. Being in Ohio, I just told my husband after I heard that, I wish we lived in San Francisco. That makes me sick to my stomach. My mother...
Ed Ju, I'm going to tell what Roz from calling from about. I want the whole country to hear this. Now, this man has been harassed before me. I want you to understand, they try to get him out of his seat a year before this issue with me came along. He's the only independent. He will not vote along with the corrupt Democrat Marxist machine. So I was not the first case where I, in other words, that he stood out from the rest of them. There were many others. They created a story that he didn't live in his district. They called the FBI on him. This is the first time in the history of this city that this corrupt, useless idiot district attorney who will not prosecute cop killers has pulled out all the stops to try to put him in jail. Do you know that?
My husband happens to be a cop, by the way. My mother is a survivor of breast cancer.
Here's a man who leaves his house to live with his wife in his mother-in-law's house while she's recovering from a double mastectomy. I want to know why every Asian American is an outside City Hall demanding that they be thrown out of office for persecuting him on two accounts. One, because he's an Asian American. And two, because they're violating his Title VII Civil Rights Act in the family leave issue. He had every right to be with his wife after a double mastectomy. But tell that to a gay like Tom Amiano, who hates women.
Savage.
I've got God's shoulder to cry on, and I cry a lot, President Bush admits. I would think God's crying from George Bush rather than the other way around. That's what I would think. His whole team left him. He's the only one there. Now we're going to go bomb Iran. Do it already. I'm sick of hearing it. Every day, another Iran this, Iran that. Duh, do it already. Put a cruise missile in the guy's flatbread there with his mullahs. Nobody would miss him. They hate him in Iran. Wait till Chavez is visiting. That egomaniac from Venezuela. Wait till he's up haw-hawing and ha-haing up there in Iran. Send him a message from America. Oh, my God, what troubles in the world. What do I need this for? Who needs this trouble? I never saw such corruption in my life. For the first time in the history of this city, the district attorney who will not prosecute certified cop killers, Kamala Harris, is using four assistant DAs, four investigators, and four staff around the clock, or full-time rather, to persecute the only Asian American on the Board of Supervisors. His father, his grandfather came to America in 1913, started a flower shop. Ed runs the flower shop with his wife, and they're trying to kill him and throw him out of office. They're trying to say he's a multimillionaire, shady millionaire. It is so anti-Asian. It's so racist. It's frightening. And then they're bringing in the FBI saying that he didn't live in his district, and so he should be thrown out. His children are scared. He's a native son of the city. Amiano's from New Jersey. The others are from, like, Chicago. A few are born here, but they act like they're from Chicago under the days of Al Capone. Here is a guy who's a native San Franciscan. They're saying he doesn't belong on the board. Grandson of a Chinese immigrant. And the big thing that really bothers me, he's the only time he's been out of the district was when he and his wife went to live with her mother in Burlingame, which is south of the city, after her breast cancer surgery. They're the sweetest people you'd ever meet in your life. I did. I met with them Friday night. I was shocked. When I saw the pictures they had been running of him, that that thing, that mutant Phil Brown knows from the Chronicle, was running pictures of him, making him look like Mao Zedong. They're sweet people. Why is the Asian community so docile on this? Why are they not outside City Hall, 10,000 young martial artists banging drums, wearing dragon costumes, I want to know. I don't understand. You see, I think the apathy is so great that degenerate mutants like this could be on the supervisory boards across the country. Who else would take a job like that? A normal person would become a businessman, or they'd become anything. Who would be a city supervisor but a flat-out loser? Who would want a job like that? But why am I making an issue of it? Two reasons. One, because it's a microcosm of America on a little scale. Two, because the man stood up for me. He was the only one who stopped them from persecuting me, and I never met him till this Friday night. I never met the man. I didn't know him from a hole in the wall. I didn't know who he was. You know when this started? I found this out. There are green parrots in this city. I love these green parrots. And they were once a couple of, I think they're from Bolivia or somewhere, Argentina. And they escaped many years ago, and they bred to the point where there's hundreds and hundreds of them, and they live in the trees downtown. And very often after work, I will go to a certain park near the waterfront, and I was watching people enjoy a simple act of feeding birds with beautiful, you know, birds would come and sit in their hair, on their hands. It was unbelievable. People were coming out and feeding the birds. And this mutant, Peskin, passed a bill making it illegal to feed birds, the famed parrots at Ferry Park. Nobody understands why Peskin would do this. So Ed Jew voted against it, saying banning people from feeding the green parrots runs counter to common sense, and I voted against Peskin, who now hates me. Wait a minute. He was also the lone vote against colleague Gerard Sandoval, who tried to pass a resolution condemning and censoring me and getting me fired simply for criticizing illegal aliens in the United States. Sandoval flew into a ballistic mode. Sandoval said to Jew, he wanted to know why I was the only one to vote no. I told him as an elected official, I swore to defend the Constitution of the United States of America and the First Amendment. That's exactly what I was doing when I voted no to the Sandoval resolution condemning Michael Savage. He goes on, he says, theirs was a vote against Michael Savage's rights enshrined in the First Amendment. The article was written over the weekend by a fabulous journalist, one of the true real journalists left in the country. Her name is Judy McLeod of Canada Free Press. I have it up on michaelsavage.com. I invite you to please download the article. Send it to 100 people. Shine a light on this corrupt city. It's worse than Tammany Hall in New York at its worst. You can't believe how corrupt and rotten this city is. I want to know why the Chinese are not outside City Hall demanding justice for Ed Jew. What if 1,000 young martial artists went down there? Amiano's dress would fall off. Peskin's beard would fall off his face if they saw the face of the young Asian Americans. Someone's got to organize them. So you got to pick this up. I know many of you care about this thing. And then, but let's go to an issue that's more national. There's a big issue of the diagnosis of bipolar disorder and consequently more medication. As you well know, quacks call themselves psychiatrists, even at Columbia, do these studies. And like this quack, in my opinion, Mark Olson, a psychiatrist at Columbia University's College of Physicians, senior author of the latest study, said that part of the increase in the diagnosis of bipolar disorder in children is attributable to an underdiagnosis of bipolar disorder in the past. You know, Olson, you are a really evil man, in my opinion. You are such an evil pimp for the drug industry. You're an embarrassment. Let me ask you something. How could the human race have gotten to the 21st century without Ritalin? How did your ancestors live through eons without medication, without diagnoses of ADD, ADHD, bipolar? Because these categories are unreal. They're fake. They're invented specifically to peddle drugs. And this keeps our society, you say, well, why is the society apathetic? I'm trying to tell you it's because many people in this country are drugged. And they're drugged for reasons that don't need drugs. And this is another reason that we're having troubles is the amount of drugs in society, legal and illegal. You understand that? Now, what is bipolar? Marked by severe mood swings between depression and mania, which is characterized by an excess of energy and restlessness. So in other words, they're going to sit and judge if a person's antsy They don't know anything about an artist who sits and smokes cigarettes and paints great paintings? Or a writer who writes for 3 days in a row, drinking endless cups of coffee and smoking? Half the novels that I read wouldn't have been written if these quacks were in business. Until recently, the illness which appears to run in families was seldom diagnosed in children. It's believed to begin in late adolescence and early adulthood. I would arrest these doctors. I'd take them out in handcuffs. If I were the president, I have these doctors arrested. I take them out as drug dealers. They're more dangerous than crack dealers on the corner for three reasons. One, a crack dealer knows he's doing an illegal thing, and he knows he's not a good person, and he doesn't pretend to be a good person. He's doing it because he just wants the money, and he has no conscience. The doctor should have a conscience and doesn't, and he's doing it only for the money. They get the grants from the drug companies and on and on. Now, what about diet? What about vitamins? How come that doesn't come up? Gabriel Carlson, a psychiatrist at Stony Brook, said one of every five children referred to her with a diagnosis of bipolar disorder actually has it. You quack, you. You know, my opinion, these people are all drug dealers. They all work in one way or another as drug peddlers. It's getting me sick. You're going to put all your children on drugs? Then the adults are on drugs? Have you ever seen how these people raise their children and what that has to do with why they're called bipolar? Manic depression. It used to be called manic depression. They ever try niacin? They ever try 3-4 grams of niacin a day? How about not stuffing your fat mutant mouth with sugar? How about getting the Krispy Kreme out of your gullet? Sticking Krispy Kreme down your gullet. See if you don't have bipolar disorder 6 hours later. You idiots. You see the children, are they raised by these parents? You ever see them? You ever see them in a department, you see the mothers? The bleach blonde mothers with the Land Rover sitting in the coffee shops in the morning giving the child a donut and coffee, giving him cocoa and coffee and a Ritalin tablet. The mother should be arrested. The child should be taken away and raised by the state. The mothers are doing it. They're too lazy to actually feed them. Now, there are occasionally truly schizophrenic people, and they're all in politics. We understand that. Or in medicine. Haven't you seen how these children were raised? I was reading reactions to this article. Many of the people are absolutely cynical about this new category of bipolar. I'm going to plug my book, darn it, I will. The book Healing Children Naturally is probably the most important single book you can buy in your life if you have a child or a grandchild. If you've not bought it, I encourage you to buy it today. And I'm going to tell you right now, read it and throw it in the garbage if you don't like it. But just maybe you'll find out that you're being lied to by your doctor and being lied to you by the drug companies who want to imprison your children with Ritalin, dangerous Ritalin, dangerous, dangerous Ritalin. Big business there. So one guy wrote this with reaction to the article about there's a new diagnosis of a tremendous amount of bipolar. 1 out of 5 children have it now. So one writes and says, I don't buy the explosion of mental disorders for a second. I have a friend whose kid is alleged to have very, very mild Asperger's disease. He says, I knew the kid between the ages of 1 and 4, and he was a delightful kid. But already I could see big trouble brewing because nothing the kid did was ever met with a strong no. I was once going to take them out to dinner to a kid-friendly restaurant, and we sat around the house for about an hour while my friend cajoled and sweet-talked her kid into wanting to go to the restaurant. And I was like, Jesus, don't ask him. Just pick him up and put the kid in the car and let's go. But my friend didn't see it that way. And so now the kid is a 10-year-old, full-blown brat who does exactly as he pleases and when he pleases. So my friend shopped him around until she found a doctor who told her the kid has very, very mild Asperger's disease. You hear this? You see them on bicycles all over the Bay Area. These are children raised by liberal parents. They ride in the middle lane on one-lane highways or two-lane roads. You honk your horn and they give you a finger and they wave their pipe at you. They wave the pipe because they're entitled to block the road because their name is Marty. And Marty was loved by his mother, Doris. Marty can do anything he damn well wants, and if not, he'll sue you because he went to law school. So the drug companies are winning. Instead of parents, we have the parents of called drugs. See, there's no parents anymore. The parents are drug companies and illiterate doctors. Now, the drug companies continuously put out money to universities to do studies which produce results that they want, which say that you need a medication, and they come up with new disorders. They're making kids now 3 and 4 years old go on to ADD drugs. They're making kids into drug addicts. They sedate our children. It's sickening. Now, how about medication for cholesterol? How is it that people live with high cholesterol for ages? How did they live with it? They all didn't drop dead of heart attacks at 45. Secondly, the category of drugs like Lipitor, which can be dangerous, do in fact lower cholesterol and triglycerides, but there's no distinct relationship between high cholesterol within a certain range and heart attacks. There's no definitive proof that high cholesterol necessarily means you're going to have a heart attack. There are people with low cholesterol who have heart attacks, and people with high cholesterol who don't. Now, you can take niacin, for example. 2-3 grams a day will not only lower triglycerides, but your HDL-LDL will be reversed and put into the proper order. This was discovered in 1950 by Dr. Abraham Hoffer, MD, PhD. He was such a great saint. He's still living. He's almost 80 in Canada, that he gave this patent away for free. Today, of course, that would never happen. He discovered that niacin not only lowers cholesterol, but it also, miracle of miracles, treats most cases of schizophrenia that he has treated. And he is a certifiably great man. You never read about him because, again, let me explain how it works. The same mutants who run the news business sit on the boards of the drug companies, sit on the boards of the universities, sit on the boards of medical hospitals. So these same mutants give awards to the people who do what they want because they're nothing but pets to them. The mutants, the maniacs who run all these companies, sit on the boards of the company, the news corporation. He might sit on I'm sure there's interlocking corporate directorships. So a guy, let's say, owns a movie company, a publishing company, a magazine company, a cable company, could be sitting on a drug company, could be sitting on a university board, could be sitting on a medical board, and it's all one seamless business. Do you understand how it works? I've been railing about this for 35 years, and I've written books on it. You know that I had a long career prior to radio as an author of popular health books, new health, nutrition, vitamins, herbs. And I had a fairly good audience, nothing like what I have in radio, I'll admit it. And I have to tell you, that's the most important work I've ever done, was popularizing the work that that great men had done. I only popularized it. I didn't do any major discoveries at all. All I did was rediscover and publish in a popular form. I publicized the good works. And I did so in a readable fashion. And in many ways, I'm doing the same thing in politics. I'm not a politician, but I analyze what's going on in politics. I try to help you understand what's going on. And I diagnose the illness, show you the lies in the political world, and try to fix the problem before there's nothing left to fix, before the whole car stops running altogether, before the good ship America is so gutted by the corruption that the ship is floating around like a Hulk, the machinery sold to China, the navigation equipment sold to India. You get the picture? Sell the navigation technology to India, sell the engine room to China, and then jump off the ship and fly off to Switzerland in your Gulfstream 5. And call yourself an ex-senator as you live there in retirement, and you wonder what happened to America as she sank below the waters. It's a real passion of mine. So, now don't get me wrong, before I take this break, and I'm running very, very late, this is a real passion of mine, is children and people who destroy children with drugs, whether it be children who were given the injections that caused autism. There's approximately 3 or 4% relationship between the injections for pertussis, et cetera, whooping cough, of about 20 and 15 years ago, and contaminants found in these injections and neurological disorders. And the drug companies, again, paid to hush this up so the parents couldn't sue them. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So the drug companies buy these doctors like cheap prostitutes. They give them grants. They come out and they say 4 out of 5 children need drugs. And they medicate them. And what they do is destroy the child's creativity. And, of course, at work, if you get a lazy slob who doesn't want to listen to what you're saying or doesn't want to do the job the boss tells them to do, they suddenly say to you, I have ADD. And then you're not allowed to say anything to them because you're violating their medical rights, and they invoke their ADD. And, of course, the parents pamper them, and they raise them to be brats who can't control themselves. So people write things like this. I can see the commercial now. Do you get sleepy at night? Do you often need to urinate in the morning? Do you have difficulty riding a unicycle? If so, you may have bi-ADHD polar syndrome. Call your doctor for a free trial of Gizmocazidol. Side effects may include runny nose, loose stool, excessive sleepiness, frequent erections, unibrows, tangled nose hair, itchy colons, and swollen testicles. If you suffer from any of the possible above side effects, your friendly neighborhood pharmaceutical company can help you. It's a joke if it's a joke, but it isn't a joke. And again, I implore you, my friends, if you have a grandchild or a child, let's say you don't agree with me politically, but you know I'm a genius anyway, which I am. And you want to read what I have to say. Sometimes us conservatives might be right. You never can tell. I just might be right. So I wrote this encyclopedic book in 1982. I've put it out again, Healing Children Naturally, and I want you to buy it. The other one is sold out, Reducing the Risk of Alzheimer's. It's another thing. Oh, there's nothing we can do about Alzheimer's. You just get it. It comes, clamps down on you. It's like, oh, we don't know why. Well, maybe you do know why. Maybe there is a strategy for reducing the risk of this dread disease. Maybe there are nutrients you can take and foods you can avoid. Of course there are. I labored in that field for 5 years, and I believe there are. I wrote Reducing the Risk of Alzheimer's. So there is something you can do. Is it worth $19 to save your brain? I'll let you decide. Or do you want to just be a dirty hippie pot-smoking bum and take a job as a supervisor in San Francisco? You can do that too. You can continue to take your bipolar drugs because you know you're no good. You know you're a rat. You know that you've become a sold-out rat even though you claim to be a liberal. You know you're more evil than any man you accuse of being evil. That's why you take your drugs.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We are talking about false diagnoses, not only of medical problems, which don't exist in order to sell drugs, but of political problems in order to sell military solutions and such in order to rape the Treasury. Welcome to the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Visit me online at michaelsavage.com. I'll say it again. MichaelSavage.com. Now, of course, I wrote in 1982 in Healing Children Naturally that had, if Tom Sawyer were alive today, he would be declared ADD and we wouldn't have read The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn or The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. He would have been diagnosed with ADHD, put into a chemical straitjacket, forced into psychotherapy sessions, and given special ed. And that would have been in the end of Tom Sawyer or Huckleberry Finn. And now you add to that the corrupt medical establishment, the busted suitcases called pediatricians. Now you take the video games, the fact that a lot of the kids don't play outdoors anymore. They can't cope with anything. And suddenly they have a diagnosis, bipolar, and give them a drug. And then they hit middle age and they can't do anything. They take a job they can't perform. This is the next generation. This is frightening. This is really unbelievable, the kind of country we're living in. The only thing that comes to my mind historically, and it's a very bad fit, but it's a fit, it's not a direct match, but it's a fit, is the drugging of the Chinese by the British with opium and the Americans. And the way that ended was when a group of young martial artists called the Boxers created the Boxer Rebellion and threw the British out of China. They threw the drug peddlers out of China and saved China from the drug peddlers of England and America. We actually need a revolution in this country to get rid of the drug peddlers in this country. And the drug peddlers may be legal. They could be corporate CEOs playing golf with you. You could be them yourself. But something has to change. This can't go on. This nation has to shake off this kind of mental straitjacket that's being put on our children and on our people. I think that the reason our politicians are so screwed up is because many of them are taking antidepressant medication to suppress their conscience. Many of them started out as idealists. You know, Mr. Smith goes to Washington. They get corrupted by the system day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. They know they're not doing the right thing, and they start taking medication to kill that still small voice. Consequently, we wind up with a corrupt, rotten regime. And so they're going to go back to the Boxer Rebellion in China. The British, as you know, were dumping opium on the Chinese and addicting an entire nation. And did you know, there was a great hero of the liberals called Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR. You hear about him a lot, right? Many of you don't know who it is. Great liberal. Okay, FDR, great liberal. His middle name is Delano. That refers to his maternal grandfather, the Delano family of Boston, who made their fortune the good old American way by running opium on clipper ships to China. He was a drug peddler, another, a drug transporter. That's where the family originally made its fortune, was in drug transportation. And, you know, there's been an old story. The money in the first generation is red with blood. The second generation becomes pink through philanthropy. By the third generation, the money is as white as a lily. You heard that one? Did you ever hear any of this? It's all new to you. It's one of the benefits of being older and being around and having read a lot is that you know all this stuff and you read about it. It starts to apply to virtually the times you're living in. So here we are. We got that. We got the corruption, the anti-Asian, anti-woman corruption in San Francisco by the Board of Supervisors. We've got the straitjackets being used for illegal aliens in Spain. They finally got it exactly right. Spain's interior ministry will authorize police to put undocumented immigrants in straitjackets and helmets during repatriation flights. The police may resort to the measures of putting them in straitjackets to protect the illegal immigrants from hurting themselves on the deportation flights. Many of them are Africans, and they go berserk in the airplane because they of course they want to go back to Africa and drink mud water. They had it good in Spain. They snuck in. They were living a high life, doing a good, living on welfare, knocking out 16 children. Of course, they'd want to go back to Africa. Would you? But slowly but surely, they're getting rid of them. Yeah, it's a spit in the bucket, what's going on in Europe. But it's a start. It's a start. The liberals are panicked that they'll be next, that eventually they'll be put in a straitjacket and sent to asylums. So the socialist liberals in Europe are screaming, oh, human rights are being violated. They have every right to come in here and feed off the fat of the land. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Soon they'll be in a straitjacket, an asylum. An asylum for liberalism. Play Volare again. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of eating my heart out over this. What can I do about it? Where's Dino now that I need him? I don't even have a Dino Ferrari. I have an F430. I never drive it anyway. Everything I have came too late to me anyway, so I'm still basically the same person I was when I was 17. If you could have these things when you were younger, they would have turned that off, would you? He's dead a long time already. I don't want to hear Dino anymore. What do I want to hear? I'm not sure what I want to do, what I want. I've covered the waterfront there. I've given you everything I want. What's left for me to get worried about and eat my heart out over? You don't care? I don't care. You don't care that an Asian is being attacked by anti-Asians in San Francisco calling themselves liberals? You don't care that he moved out of the district to take care of his wife while she had a double mastectomy, and they're violating his Title VII civil rights? Why should I care? All you good liberals, you're all so fraudulent. No wonder such evil befalls your family when you do a thing like this and call yourself good progressives. You're not good. You're corrupt. You're no good. Your churchmen won't tell you that because you pay them off too. You buy them a new building. There aren't enough wafers in San Francisco to cover the rotten conscience in that city. What happened to this great city? What happened to this great city? I know what happened. I know who did it to the city. I know when it happened. I know how they came in here like bugs, like bed bugs they came in. oh, we're coming in because it's a tolerance city. Yeah, we want tolerance. You turn around, they're the Nazis of today, under the guise of tolerance, wearing a skirt. Or we could talk about bipolar disorder, which doesn't exist. It's the human condition. Or we could talk about Bush's quote, I've got God's shoulder to cry on, and I cry a lot. I think it's God who's crying. Or we can talk about Steve Fawcett, who I heard he flew a plane around the world. Now he's missing. He'll be turned up. It's a little PR stunt, maybe. But, you know, there's a picture of me. Looks like a combo of Larry Craig and Rush Limbaugh. And I thought maybe Steve Fawcett, the balloon guy, maybe got caught foot-tapping in an E.T. bathroom up in space and has been whisked away by Martians. Or we can talk about poor old Jerry Lewis. He's raising $62 million for muscular dystrophy. And in the middle of it, he says he starts to say the F word. And the gays go crazy to this. The whole of the story is not people's organs being taken out in China, not Dianne Feinstein grifting out $382 million. If you drop that story, I'll kill you. Is that on my website or you dropped it? I'm going to murder the webmaster. I swear I'm going to bury my website. If this is gone, I'm taking down my website. I'm killing it. I'm spending more time managing this website than doing my radio show. Where did it go? Where is the story? I want to know what happened to the one that shows the Democrats and the amount of money they're grifting. Where is it? Gone already. I blinked. The best story up there is gone. I can't take it. You know, I can't manage this anymore. I can't manage the website. All I know is what's right and what's wrong from my point of view, one man's opinion. Then you got that Phil Spector with the wigs, that trial. Who is he? He's a nonentity. The guy was forgotten by 1969. Why is this trial going on and on? They found a smoking gun in the house. The guy's chauffeur says he killed him, and they still have a trial. And they bring out all these what's his name? Who's that guy from Pennsylvania? He's always we thought he was a good guy years ago. They can be bought and sold like a Duke lacrosse player stripper. These MDs, these pathologists that don't want to work for a living. They testify instead for $1,000 an hour. What's his name? Oh, he came out, he said the girl shot herself in the mouth. You hear this? I mean, the prosecution has brought out woman after woman who says that he drinks and becomes violent, pulled out a gun and put it to their head. They find the girl dead in his house with a smoking gun. The chauffeur comes out and says that Phil Spector came out and said, I think I killed somebody. Now they're trying to make the police wrong. The police did it. The defense attorney, so-called, wonderful human beings, defense attorneys. They make the police the bad guy. The police did it. Poor guy does his job. All right, officer, let me hear. When you went in there, did you contaminate the scene in any way? Well, I don't know. Listen, you dumb moron. You only have a bachelor's degree at most, probably an AA. I'm smarter than you. I went to NYU in Columbia. So listen, you dumb guy. Let me tell you. You shot her, right? I'll be right back. The Democrats come to office saying that the Republicans are corrupt. They put Duke Cunningham in jail because he wasn't as smart as the boys who went to NYU and Columbia. He did it a little too overtly, not as covertly as some others. And now we wake up and the Democrats who were against the war are suddenly silent on the war because the pork pie has been shared equally. And Feinstein is the number one porker, bringing in $382 million. Murtha, $186 million, Boxer, $152 million, Pelosi, $141 million. Read about it. I'm not making up the numbers. How can you people tell me the Democrats are more honest than the Republicans? How? How can you sit there praying for a Democrat president? Tell me the difference you're going to expect. Well, what's going to happen that's going to be better for America? Or the drugs, or the this, or the that, the this. The trucks now rolling in with the illegals. The Mexican trucks are rolling, 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 rolling. Bush did that over the weekend while crying to God. Christ, my dog just left. Bush says he cries a lot, but he has God's shoulders to cry on. You hear a story like this? That scares me, a line like that. It's like Jimmy Carter said he met the Lord in his living room. I wanted to know what he was wearing. It's from drinking that strychnine with the snakes. Does he have an outfit? You mean a guy makes a personal visit to his living room down there in Georgia before he became president? How you doing? Come on in. I know you. I've seen you. I've been waiting for you for years. want a tea, coffee? Oh, you don't touch caffeine. Herbal tea? Can you have a green tea? Is that allowed biblically? All right, I'll take a myrrh. Give me a myrrh tea. What the heck? Rolling. So the trucks are coming in, rolling. George Bush. Congress says nothing. Nobody said. Teamsters say no one can stop the trucks. Mexican trucks, unregistered, uncontrolled, with drivers who may be half asleep at the wheel. Superhighway through America. What's in the truck that's so important they need a superhighway? There's a benefit to it in a certain way, though. Let's say the Mexican trucks blow a tire because there's no DOT inspection. Just think about it. You could pull up and get like an illegal gardener at like a reduced rate. You could probably buy a bale of marijuana at a discount. You don't have to go through the cut out the middleman, didn't get to Chicago. So you could like, all right, take a bale of that. What's that white stuff? All right, give me a couple of packages of those. But I'm not giving you more than half, 50% off. And hit the streets with it. All right, I'll buy it on this highway. And it's going to be like garage sales across the superhighways. That's the good part. It's a joke, right? Very funny. Very funny joke. It sounds comedic in the political arena, but it isn't comedic. It's frightening. It is frightening that no one can stop this man. It's like, stop me before I destroy America more. Do you understand how bad this is? Why should a Mexican truck be allowed to come here without any inspection with drivers who work for less? Tell me the benefit to anybody for that one. Who's benefiting from this? And no one could stop it? What happened to Congress? Where are they? They know how to take money out and give it to their friends? Now I'll take a caller who disagrees with me on bipolar. I knew they would come into the tent. They're in the great savage tent. All right, your turn now. We go to the people who want to defend their bipolarism. Todd in Portland, Maine, you have the floor. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Michael. I love your show. I listen to it all the time. I've learned a whole lot from you. I do got to say that I disagree with the bipolar statement not existing. You know, I'm 37 now. I was 23 or so when I started having depression and, you know, getting thoughts of suicide. What's a 23-year-old supposed to do with a thought of suicide that scares him to death?
Well, I'll tell you, wait, hold on. Suicidal ideations are quite common in late adolescence. In fact, if you read the German poet Goethe's book, The Sufferings of Young Werther, you'll find out that it's very common in people with imaginations and a poetic temperament. There are ways to deal with it other than drugging yourself. I mean, you could write poetry, you can write music, you can do art. There's a number of things you could do other than killing those feelings, because those feelings may not be real. They're a manifestation of something you're repressing in yourself that will only be further repressed with drugs.
It's just, well, I mean, it's scary. You get thoughts of suicide and then ways of doing it, and it's so compulsive that you think of so many different ways to do it.
All right, so what drugs were you put on?
Oh, I've been on numerous drugs. I mean, I'm 37 now.
Well, I'm not going to recommend you go off the drug, because God forbid you kill yourself, then I get blamed. So it's between you and your doctor. But that's a little different than the diagnosing 3 out of 4 children with ADD, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you.
All right. So there are people who are mentally tormented who might have some benefit from a medication. But that's why God invented Irish whiskey. I mean, yeah. What do you think? You think the Irish didn't have bipolar by Schmoller in the 1700s, and the Scots people didn't have bipolar? They went and got drunk. They had a hangover. They dealt with it the next day. They drank the next night. The hair of the dog. And it went around and around. They lived a life and died. They didn't need a medication.
Okay.
Anyway, have a nice day. What do I know? Don't kill yourself. A lot of people have thoughts of it. Like they're on a balcony. They look down and say, wow, man, I could just throw myself off or fly like a bird. I knew a kid like that when I was a kid in Queens. He was nuts. Certifiable maniac. We had attached houses in Queens. This one was the loony bird. He thought he was Superman. Put on a Superman costume. We must have been 8. Threw himself off a flight of stairs right down. He thought he could fly. He was a bug. We knew he was a nut. Everyone laughed at him. Oh, yeah, poor Howie. Howie was a schmuck. No one talked to him ever after that. He was like shunned. Who wants to be around a moron who puts on a Superman suit and throws himself down a flight of stairs thinking he could fly? The women didn't even play Mahjong with the mother after that. It was a better nation. Trust me, it was a much better country. Today, oh, Howie's special. Howie's now a supervisor in Austin, Texas. He's got a mustache and he wears a garter belt and stockings to the office. Isn't he wonderful, Howie?
Savage.
there's another big story I didn't get to yet on the website. You should look at it. Hillary's donor linked to China missile trader Bernard Schwartz. Remember old Bernie? Oh, yeah, he's back in the news. Big man. He's on the boards of universities, now retired. He's an emeritus. Big man. He made his bundle now. He does the tuxedo and limo job. And that's the story about Hillary's donor linked to China missile trader. I got it from WND. It's up on michaelsavage.com. And there's old Bernie. Friend of Bill. Remember old Schwartzy? Oh, yeah, he's on the board of the new school. Limo job. And who is Bernard Schwartz? And what does Loral Space and Technology have to do with China's threat to the future of America? How is it tied into the Democrat machine? I don't know. Read the whole article. You'll read it. I don't have the time to explain it to you in detail. Read it up on michaelsavage.com. You'll see old Bernie. He's back. Remember, there's a big hullabaloo in 96. He sold missile technology to China, gave it to them. We developed it through our tax base for the military. Schwartz had it reclassified as not defense-related, moved to Commerce Department. He then transferred the technology to China so that the Chinese could launch satellites through their rocketry with our technology. He didn't do it to harm America. He's a good American, old Bernie Schwartz. You know that. He did it in order to launch satellites cheaper than space could do it here in America. He was one of the first to outsource the launching of satellites. Smart businessman. It's like making a parachute with bad nylon during the war, and it breaks when the guy jumps out of the plane on a bombing mission. Look, you got to make a buck. Nothing wrong with making a buck. So what if the other guy's son falls out of the plane and the chute doesn't open? The main thing is you have the limo and the suit. You go around, you got the bow tie, you go to the dinners. Don't matter that the moron in Fallujah has a flak jacket that couldn't stop a BB gun. That's all. So anyway, it's all tied in its own way. You got to follow it. If you have ADD, you could probably follow this. If you don't have ADD, I'm sure you have trouble following me half the time. See, a guy like me, think about it. I've written 23, 24 books published, several. I have quite a few books unpublished in manuscript. I've done the DVD. God knows I've earned the PhD, 2 master's degrees from great universities. I've published scholarly work. I've raised a family. I could be declared ADD when I could have been declared ADD as a kid. They would have killed me. I would have become like, I don't know what I would have been, an accordion-playing accountant. And there's nothing wrong with being an accountant. Don't get me wrong. I love my accountant. I couldn't have been an accountant. I wasn't good with numbers. Let's say a journalist. Top thing, I could have worked in a newsroom on medication. You're semi-literate. You think that you're liberal. You're smart because you can type a sentence. Whatever the guy with the mustache that looks like Groucho Marx tells you to do, you do. You start out writing obituaries. Then you write the religion column. But you know what I'm saying is something else. Don't suppress a child's creativity who may be antsy and jumpy and this and that. That's the mark of intelligence mostly. They become drummers. They become boxers. They become God knows what. What are you medicating it for? It's the mark of the child itself. So you got sick doctors now who don't have the guts to become actual crack dealers. And they prescribe medications for diseases that don't exist. And I told you I had a guy, Howie, in the name, but I'll repeat it. One guy I knew was a certifiable bug. The whole neighborhood, there was one bug. I don't know how old, 7, 8. He must have been 2 years younger than us. We were 10, 11. And he put on a Superman uniform in the house, ran around in it for a while. No one paid attention. Then one day he came like almost sorts of traction. What happened? They were ashamed to admit. He threw himself down the steps. He thought he could fly. That was it. No one talked to him ever again in the neighborhood. I think they wouldn't even play like gin rummy with the father anymore than whatever they did. And today, I'm sure he's a supervisor in Austin, Texas, wearing a half a skirt and a half a mustache. Or he's on the board of supervisors of San Francisco voting that it's illegal to feed the green parrots in the park, even though they love nature and they know everything about global warming. But don't feed the parrots, number one. And although we're liberals and we believe in free speech, Michael Savage should be condemned and be put in prison. And although Ed Jew is a third-generation Chinese-American, he doesn't belong here because we came from Hoboken and we're gay. And we know more about human rights. Just ask us. You see how it works? That's how it all works. That's how it all ties together. But you have to follow the show. You have to get into my syntax, my way of explaining things. to understand. If you're new to this, you probably don't know what I'm talking about. That's the problem. But it's after Labor Day. I'm warming up the crowd. They're not even in a tent yet. I have this idea. What is this now? Old hippies never die. They just become ugly. That's about the being they had in the park. You ever see the disgusting drug addicts and sex maniacs there that came to the park with the pot? Big deal. Dancing. 60s all over again. You take a look at those pictures. You got vomit. They still glorify the 60s in this city. You ever take a look at these people? Oh, my God. What do they do for a living? How did they become like this? You see the schmatas they're wearing? Tie-dye they left over. You wouldn't want to go near it, the bugs in that dress that girl is there. See that dress she's wearing, that tie-dye? It was probably in her closet just for this event 30 years. Summer of Love bands and fans jam in Golden Gate Park. Kay Left and Heather danced to the music of the Rowan Brothers on Sunday at a free concert celebrating the 40th anniversary of the San Francisco Summer of Love. It was a summer of drugs and hate. It was a summer of love at Speedway Meadow. Yeah, it's called Speedway Meadow for a reason. There's nothing to do with cars going fast. Still jamming, huh? Hoo-hoo. 4L. Take a look at this motley crew. Everybody you look at in that crowd, let's say you look at that crowd, the pictures from the event, the Being Again thing. Every face you're looking at in that crowd, let's say everybody in there, anyone who went to that, do you realize that every picture and every person in that face is a tragedy to some family or other in the United States of America? Here's another one. Summer of Love, bands and fans jam at Golden Gate Park. All of the would-be's, wannabes. You look at the faces. Look carefully. There's some old hippies. In my day, they would have been like a rabbi. Now, the hair is long already. They're looking for, they're still trying to grab some at the, you know, a late age. They figure they're going to go there and see under someone's dress. Completely fallen people. They don't talk to anyone in the family. Nobody talks to them from New York or New Jersey anymore because they know they were nobody. They're kind of like wearing like an Aloha shirt for 30 years, the same shirt. It's like a good luck shirt. And it's got B.O. in it. You know the type I mean? There's guys around like that. How come they don't wash the shirt? Well, it's good luck. I started wearing it in 1969. I don't want to wash the stink out of it. So if you look at that, these pictures, every face in that picture, every old person, every person in that picture is a tragedy to some family or other, both locally and nationally. Everyone. There's nobody there who did any good in their whole life. Nobody. Every last one of them, old hippies. So that my headline on the website is old hippies never die, they just become ugly. Am I mean-spirited for saying a thing like that? For telling you about Schwartz and Loral? For telling you that drug companies are poisoning our children? For telling you that the Democrats are the biggest liars in the history of this government? For telling you I don't believe that Bush cries a lot, I believe that God cries a lot because of Bush? Does that make me a mean-spirited guy? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Then you got Whoopi Cushion Goldberg, a failure for the last 20 years. The only reason she's around is for the reasons you can understand. It's like affirmative action in entertainment. Fails in radio, now she's on TV again. What does she defend? She defends a guy who has dogs kill each other. But does anyone say anything? Oh, no. Why? Because she's a double minority. How could you say anything to Whoopi Cushion Goldberg? What else is in there? And poor Jerry Lewis. $80 million for muscular dystrophy, but he says half the F word, and bingo, the gay mafia wakes up after a bender, a three-day bender, and they who's on the list today? Oh, Jerry Lewis, rip him to shreds. He's no good. It's not money for us. Let's hear Jerry Lewis.
We're into hour 18. Look how good he moves that camera over your son of a gun. Wherever I go, he goes. Let's see what you do with this over here. Oh, your family has come to see you. You remember Bart, your oldest son? Jesse, the illiterate... No.
Oh, he said the F word. He's finished. Doesn't matter, he raised $62 million for muscular dystrophy. He got the gay mafia, man. Ooh. Such a genius, Jerry Lou. Even the French, they loved him. Well, okay, for reasons they loved him for different reasons than me, the French. I loved him because he was funny. They loved him because he was a stereotypical funny Jew, so they could laugh at Jews. That's why the French loved Jerry Lewis. It's not that they thought he was funny. They liked the Jew mocking Jewish-like behavior. It was like the anti-Semitism, and no one understands that about the French. You have to understand the French mind to understand why they glorify so many American artists. It's not that they actually think they do great work. They're mocking them. Because they mock everybody. That's why the whole nation is worthless. There's nothing positive coming out of France today. Zero. They can't even make a car in France. They used to make good. They made like the Mirage jet was a fabulous jet. I was watching the dogfight series on TV the other day. I bought the whole set the year one. I couldn't believe it. It was a great weekend. I don't mean Michael Vick with animal fights. I mean airplane dogfights. So probably one of the best things ever made in the history of television. I've never seen anything like it. So it's like about dogfighting, and they show the events that went on. Some of the pilots they were able to interview, they're still living, like 85 years old, who actually did the dogfighting, World War II, some in Korea, some in Vietnam, and some go back to other events. So I started with World War II, then I jumped to the one on the 1967 Israeli War, and you see these guys, and they flew the Mirage jet against MiG-17s, and the strategy and the genius and the guts that these guys had. And you look at these guys, these Jewish guys, these Israelis, for example. These are the ones that they showed them then, like pictures of these handsome, like desert warrior types then, and older men now, still very bold and noble men in their 50s or 60s. And what struck me was the type still exists in Hollywood, but they're making pornography now. In other words, where did these guys go? What happened to them? What happened to the Jewish state? Everyone was so proud of them in the 60s. Then you like close your eyes and you wake up. It's like the ancient hippies, the aging hippies, who are ashamed to some family across America, every face in the picture. And now you look in Hollywood. Instead of being like old warriors who flew against MiG-17s over the Sinai, they made pornography in the valley. You know what I'm saying? And then they left their wife for a 19-year-old, a 19-year-old hooker they met. How does this happen to a world? It's one man's reflections. And again, you have to follow the show on a regular basis to understand what I am talking about. Unless you understand my entire gestalt, the gestalt of Michael Savage, you can't understand this. I would think this is very hard for a new listener. I heard he's good. What's he talking about? What does he mean, airplanes? How does he go from Ritalin to Sinai? What is he talking about? How does he go from depression and a guy who called and wanted to kill himself and talk about guys who flew against the MiG-17? I don't understand this. What's wrong with me? Why does he support Jerry Lewis when he said that word that they beeped? Why? What does he mean, the French are anti? I don't get it. It's too hard for me. I can't think. Give me a drug. Now go to watch Jay Leno. That's your speed. Two-dimension. Jay Leno on fish oils is two-dimensional. That's on a good day. Look, who's the guy who was on the show who wants to be president? I called him a war horse, a glue horse, an old glue horse. Larry Craig? Fred, they're all the same to me. Larry Craig, Fred Thompson, they all look alike to me. Fred Thompson has as much chance to become president as the statue of Dante that I have in my studio that I'm looking at. Why would anyone vote for a glue horse who goes on Jay Leno and want him to protect us from the evils of the world? Who? Who would want this? Right or wrong? Oh, hang on. No, Mike, he's really good. He's solid. Yeah, he's a solid. Why, he looks like a play the president. Well, what's the solid? What has he done that's good? Should he move back to Canada? Someone's asking me if they want to move to Canada. How do I know he should move? Look at these callers I got. I got a migraine from the topics already. And then you got the hippies in the park here in San Francisco. Crowd estimated 50,000 losers. The day began with blessings offered by Native American shamans. What they meant was shamed Native Americans who were no longer welcome on the reservation. That's what they call them, shamed. Shamed men. Native American shamed men. And ended 9 hours later with Jolie Valenti, son of the late Dino Valenti. Listen to these people. Of Quicksilver Messenger Service singing his dad's song, Get Together. Wow, I missed that. Shoo! Once in a lifetime. Whew! It's never too late for another summer of love, said Wes Scoop Nisker, former underground radio newscaster. Wow, how far out? Underground radio newscaster. Ooh, I missed him. I haven't felt like this since 1969, said Woodstock concert producer Artie Kornfeld, one of the many Red Diaper Doper Baby counterculture heroes who appeared during the brief intermissions in the crisply efficient production. The old hippies look a little worn. No kidding. No kidding. They should be where Jerry Garcia is, enjoying it. Paul Kantner. Oh, my God. That loser is still around? Who is he? Did he bring his walker or the trend? Was he able to play with the transfusion tree or not? Beat poet Michael McClure? That guy was nobody when he was somebody. The only person who thought Michael McClure was a poet was Lawrence Ferlinghetti, who was a clever businessman in disguise. Oh, my God, they're still around? How do they stay alive? What is it, from eating beans or something? Why, it's from running out on bills in North Beach in the 70s. I went to dinner with a lot of these guys. You go to, like, these are all, like, with the proletariat, down with the proletariat. We're with the people, man. We're down with the people. All these great poets. We used to eat in North Beach in these big family-style Italian restaurants. And when the bill came, they paid to the penny if they paid that and ran out with no tip. They left the waiter. You know what they left the waiter? Spittle on the table. That's what they left. There was like 8 cents left on it. Did you ever go to dinner with like old hippies? But they leave for a tip 8 cents. They're all ashamed to somebody. Some family somewhere in New Jersey is broken from them. That's all I know. Somebody in Staten Island has a broken heart. They're buried in a grave. Everyone that they're mentioning here, they don't go back home for nothing. Not a religious ceremony, a wedding. No one wants to know them. They're outcasts. But they're reliving. They're reliving. Every face in those pictures that you see reprinted on the republished on the website, every face you are looking at that went to this reenactment of the summer of hate and summer of drug addiction in San Francisco, every last one of them, do you realize when you look at them that every last one of them reflects a tragedy to some family or other in the United States of America? It's unbelievable to me. I'm going to read on an article. At the far end of the field, a cluster of food stands. Let me ask you something. Would you eat food at a food stand at a hippie festival? And arts and crafts booths, probably all made in China. Stanley Moose, the psychedelic artist who drew the Grateful Dead skull and roses. Ooh, I missed him too? Wow. God, did I miss this stuff. I was on my boat driving it under the San Francisco Bay Bridge. I wanted to see the genius of the contractor who floated like a 50-foot section off the bridge and on the bridge in 2 days and got it back up before it was expected to go up, because it's not Caltrans. It wasn't a state that did it. It was a private contractor. The guy should be given a Nobel Prize. I went out in the boat in the rough water with the white waves, the spray hitting me in the face. I felt a smile come over my face as the spray was hitting me. I found my face smiling, and I said, like, why am I smiling? Why do I feel good with cold water hitting me in the face with a spray with the boat jumping? Answer, because I'm not at the psychedelic festival in Golden Gate Park with all of these family shames. I'll be right back. Savage. The weekend, the old aging hippies, they let him out of Napa State Mental Hospital. They gave him a day off. Summer of Love. Fans and bands jamming Golden Gate Park. They can't let go, these people. A lot of these people think it's 1968 and only a year has gone by. You know what I mean? Like, they're on drugs, constantly on drugs in Napa State Mental Hospital. They let him out for the day. Oh, man, it's 1968 already. Wow. Better get cleaned up here. Far end of the field, a cluster of food stands and arts and crafts booths attracted visitors. Would you eat food at a food stand at a hippie festival? I can't imagine. What are they selling? Like Mary Calabash made food at home and brought it in a pot? How could you eat that food? It's like a public health disaster. The event was produced by somebody, a longtime figure, I'm reading right now, on the Northern California music scene, who ran shows at the Maritime Hall for 6 years in the 90s. Wow, man. Just think, I missed him. A 1966 Galileo High School graduate. Whoa, man. He should get a Nobel Prize for graduating high school in San Francisco. This is unbelievable. This is what they glorify in this demented city? An Ed Jew they persecute for being Asian and for taking care of his wife with a double mastectomy? And carpetbaggers like Tom Amiano, the great human rights activist, is persecuting a man for being Asian and for taking care of his wife after a double mastectomy. Where are the PC police now that we need them?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now,
now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Hour 18. Look how good he moved that camera over here. Son of a gun. Wherever I go, he goes. Let's see what you do with this over here. Oh, your family has come to see you. You remember Bart, your oldest son? Jesse, the illiterate. No.
Poor Jerry Lewis raises $62 million for muscular dystrophy. He's exhausted. He starts goofing around talking about the cameras as their people. And he makes a joke that has the F word in it. And right away, the gay mafia wakes up from their orgiastic weekend and attacks him. They don't say one word about the good he did, only that, ooh, he said the F word. Ooh, persecute him, pillory him, kill him. And then there's here in San Francisco, they glorify degenerate leftovers. Mutants, throwbacks. 50,000 people go and get stoned and they dance, misshapen cretins. Do you realize that every person pictured at the hippie bean on my website, everyone in that picture, everyone you are looking at, everyone who went there is a tragedy to some family somewhere in the world, probably mainly in Brooklyn. Dance naked with the beads. They don't return home for a communion, a wedding. No one wants to know them. They don't invite them anyway. They don't get a card, nothing. They all thought that they were wild and free. She left with a husband or a boyfriend. Now she's with a girlfriend, Gerda. And so the mother died of a broken heart. It's unbelievable to me. They don't go home for a bar mitzvah, for a wedding, a communion, a Buddhist event, nothing. Nobody would know them. But they're all wild and free. Just ask him. Beat poet Michael McClure, whose play The Beard was performed in the early days of the Fillmore. 1969, the guy wrote one play. How could they still be around? I don't believe it. The far end of the field, a cluster of food stands and arts and crafts booths attracted visitors. You ever see arts and crafts, what they call arts and crafts? All made by slave labor in China, passed off by hippies as though they're made in a house up in Mendocino somewhere. It's unbelievable to me. Who would eat food? Could you play that thing I like with the song? I forget its name. Something that would go with the song. That's it. High on cocaine. This is San Francisco's official city song.
Driving that train, high on cocaine.
Snicker, snicker, you degenerate losers, you. Take a look at their pictures on my website. Go ahead. See if you can look at them without getting ill. Old hippies relived 1967 with a touch of sadness. Put them on Ritalin. Ugh.
This old engine makes it.
Could it be worse if China took over? Could it get worse or would it get better? I don't even know. Could it get worse than this with Bernie Schwartz selling of missiles? I don't know how, where to turn here. Straitjackets for illegals. Look at my website. That's why I talk about Ritalin soon. Debunking global warming. Less than half of published scientists endorse global warming theory. Go ahead, read it. Send it to Jerry Brown, the Attorney General. See if he'll read about the articles that don't confirm his religious experience that global warming exists. They don't want to read the literature that doesn't confirm or conform to what they want to believe in. They don't want to read it. They don't want to know from nothing. That's all. That's it. Then we got there's a lot of stories I'm covering all at once. I don't know. Does anyone follow me? Is it too soon in the year? Are the Rugrats finally back to school? Can they calm down already? A neighbor with a child who bangs the floor like a drum. Maybe they can put him to sleep before 10:30. Who lets a child run in a floor that it bangs like someone's hitting a floor with wood? How do they do this? In my day, if a child ran like that, the mother slapped him a little on the behind and said, "Stop running. You're disturbing us and the neighbor." Imagine what kids become when they let them run like that. God, Unbelievable. Oh, Johnny, you don't want to hurt Johnny's ego. Don't let him stop, you know, banging the wall with anything, you know. Life goes on. I'll survive it one way or the other. Tomorrow I see the cardiologist again. He'll tell me to take Lipitor, and I'll tell him I'm taking niacin, and I'll get back to him in 3 months. That's what I'm doing. I'm not taking Lipitor. Because the other cardiologist who was there during the stress test said to me, well, you got to take Lipitor. I said, I haven't seen one published study that confirms it reduces the risk of heart attack. All it does is lower overall cholesterol, and it lowers triglycerides, but it doesn't necessarily yes, there are many studies. I said, can you cite one? He walked out of the room. Who do they think they're talking to here? They like to scare you by making you wait 30 minutes for the great doctor to come in. That racket. Dr. X smokes Chesterfield for the T-zone. You know what I mean? So I can't wait. I like some of them. I mean, some of them are nice guys. If you need them after a heart attack, fine. Then you take Lipitor, but not before it. Get muscle damage. Liver enzymes go out of control. Take niacin. What do you need it for? They make a form now, an acetal form of niacin. You don't need, there's not even any flushing or itching. And it might cure half your schizophrenia on top of it all. You might be able to get rid of some of the psychiatric medication. It's all interrelated, incidentally. You need a little fat in your diet, you know that. You ever see the people who are like very thin? They're like very thin, like Jack Sprat could eat no fat. Like bicycle, very thin, very like 2% muscle mass. They're psychos because they don't have enough fat. Consequently, they're nervous. They're like very nervous. So all they do is like run over the Golden Gate Bridge. They think they're going to live forever looking at that the wristwatch. They're going to live forever because they're running. Ex-hippie. I got some. Do I have any ex-hippies? That's what I really want to talk about now. I've done all the other stuff. It's early in the year already. Let's see. What month is this? September? Still September. January, February, March is the winter book. April, May, June is the spring. Oh, the all-important spring book. Sell ads, April, May, June. July, August, September is like throwaway, summer book. So we're still in the throwaway book. Like you're not supposed to care what people. I do the same show every day. I don't care what book, what year, what month, weather. It doesn't matter to me. It's like I'm an all-weather pilot. You know what I mean? Whatever the weather is, I do the same show. Meaning in terms of energy and involvement. I don't care whether it's the summer or the important fall book. I just do a great show. That's all. The best I can do. If you don't like it, then don't listen. I'll listen to the Grateful Dead sit there with headphones on. What do I care what you do? Who? And why would that old glue horse, Fred Thompson, go on to Jay Leno, a two-dimensional flat comedian like that who's never been funny in his life? The guy reads. Why do they watch? I never watched Jay Leno. I swear to God, my entire life's consumption of Jay Leno is about 4 minutes. The entire life, I flipped through him and Dave Letterman. I know right away they're hack comedians. They read scripts. And I go past them. There's no creativity. 5 minutes maximum, both combined. That's where a guy announces his candidacy? That's your idea of a Republican candidate, a glue horse like Fred Thompson, ex-lobbyist, ex-actor, just what the doctor ordered. There's the man on the white horse. The glue horse is what it is, not the man on the white horse. You know what's coming up? What am I going to look forward to is the Blue Angels are coming to town. The Fleet Weeks of the hippie, bum, degenerate, scum, drug addicts can hate them. And then I love them when they come to. I invited the Blue Angels to dinner. I was going to put on a dinner for them in a restaurant. They couldn't do it. It was a Sunday night. First of all, two things happened. I offered to host the entire Blue Angels team for a dinner on a Sunday night. The problem was most restaurants are closed Sunday night. That's A. B, they couldn't accept the offer because they're flying out the next day to Hawaii to the next event. So they said, well, how about coming to Fresno and take him to dinner the week before? I said, I don't even know where Fresno is. I mean, I don't mean it any negative way. Maybe it's a little, you know, out of town thing here, but I don't like to go to the Delta in the summer either in my boat. Why do you want to go to the Delta and sit there and sweat like in the, it's like deliverance to me, the Delta. You make one wrong turn and you're like murdered by crank addicts. They tell you, oh, you go up the Delta on the river, the Sacramento River, throw your hook down, and you can camp all night in your boat. You always figure like crank dealers are going to come over the swamp, like in a rowboat, like kill everyone on the boat, like take everything, and the boat is left there like a Hulk, and you're all like disappeared. Why would you want to do this? Stay home better with a door locked, with a gun. Or they go to like Tinsley Island. What do they go to Tinsley Island for? I don't understand that. It's 95 degrees here in the Bay Area, let's say over the bridge. So in Tinsley Island, it's 120. And what do they do there? They don't do here. They get drunk anyway over there in the reeds. Hey, how you doing? I just saw you over there in Sausalito. Great. How are you? Let's have a drink. Well, didn't we just have a drink when we left yesterday? Yeah, but let's have another. Yeah, let's get drunk here. Half of boating's about getting drunk. That's all it is. Like an excuse to get loaded. It's a hangover from like the post-World War II. The people came back from the war nervous, like shell-shocked from defeating Nazism. And they were like, so they had to drink a lot to kill the pain. And then like it held over. They got boats. And they're not 35 years later, still drinking drunk on the bay. There should be some kind of control over drinking while driving a boat, I'll tell you the truth. I don't drink when I drive, never. Couldn't do that. Oh, finally a caller who makes sense. Chris in Houston, Texas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good evening, sir. An honor to talk to you. I wonder, what happened to Teddy's Corner on your website? I really enjoyed that.
You like the dog pictures? Well, they're replaced with old hippies never die. They just become ugly. I thought I'd put ugly people up instead of a nice dog. And do you resent the fact that we have the legs of the dead woman in the Spectre trial? Is that too shocking with a gun?
Well, you know, the news is the news, so you got to keep up.
Well, it's an interesting story. It's a little tabloidism, I know. But in order to get you to look at what they're doing to the Chinese-American Ed Zhu, whose wife had a double mastectomy, who they're persecuting, even though they claim they love women and minorities, I figured if I do a woman's legs with a gun next to it who died, I might be able to get you to look at that and look at the Democrat gang who claims that they're honest. And the amount of money they took in, and Bernie Schwartz, you know what I mean? I'm trying to get you to look at the website.
No, I understand, sir, but...
I should put Teddy back. I'll have to put him back up there. But we couldn't get new pictures of him. All right, Chris, I'll try to put a Teddy's Corner back up. Play that High on Cocaine song again. It's the San Francisco's official city song. They'll give a proclamation saluting the use of cocaine. The mayor could come out and give the key to the city to a coke dealer. From El Salvador. We would like to give the key to the city. We're going to pass a resolution giving a key to the city to crack dealers in San Francisco. They're doing so much for the underground economy. Hereby, heretofore, find that although we're all red diaper dopa baby, whacked out nutcases, mutants from Brooklyn who claim to be native San Franciscans. Get this bum off. I can't stand this song. I can't even joke about it. You know whose picture I want off is that article on the bottom. Gonzalez left early. I don't lie. I don't want him up there anymore. Get rid of that picture. Put Cheesecake up. Anything. Put Teddy's picture up where Gonzalez is. Better than Gonzalez. How come there was no outcry when they got rid of the only Latino in the cabinet? How come there was no outcry and no proclamations about racism? Answer. Can I give you the answer to that? You know the answer to that. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Could you raise your hand because you've been with me from the beginning, 1994? It's like a calendar. Like it keeps flipping. 04, 05, 06, 07, 08, 09, 09, 09, 09, 2000, 01, 02, 03, 04, 05, 06, 07. When I was a kid, I go to the movies. I love the movies like in the early 50s. In order to show time moving, they showed like, let's say it was like the Jimmy Dorsey story. I'm coming up with a movie or an actor, something, his life story or a boxer. They would show like he started out in Pittsburgh playing in a high school band. Then he got like a little famous. Then they would show like they were on the railroad train going around the country doing like their gigs. And then they would show a calendar flipping. You know what I mean? 50, 51, 52, 52. Choo, choo. The train would go bigger. Choo, the train. You know, they'd show like 1 second of it. And then we're getting old, a little gray. And it was choo, and it'd show time. 42, 43, 44, 45. Like the story with the calendar flipping. That's like what goes on in my head. So what I'm saying is, in order to understand that, you have to not be on medication to even conceptualize that. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Character of old hippies. They never die. They just become ugly old stoneheads. I'll turn it off. I don't want to hear it. There's nothing here anymore. It's not the Golden State. It's the late Golden State. It's the illegal immigrant state. That's what it is. It's the tax rape state. 11% a year if you make over a certain income. They added a 1% while no one was looking. Mental health tax. You hear this? So they could fund drug addicts. Mental health tax, another 1%. 11% of the gross state income tax. Have you heard of anything like criminal behavior like this? How can they keep doing this? I don't know when it ends. How does it all come to an end? How does it go on? People who work and then they give to the people who don't work all these drugged up bums, hating those they live off. Then you got the kids being given Ritalin. The minute a child shows any sign of independence, creativity, comic ability, comedic ability, right away, oh, he's sick. Then you got the quack doctor saying 3 out of 4 of them need Ritalin. New study comes out saying that, oh, yeah, well, more kids. Sharp increase in diagnosis of bipolar disorder in children. They get these, like, prostitute doctors at universities, and they suddenly say, here's one who says, Dr. Gabriel Carlson, a so-called psychiatrist at so-called Stony Brook University in so-called New York, said 1 of every 5 children referred to her with a diagnosis of bipolar disorder actually has it. You hear? The rest have autism, depression, anxiety, or another psychological disorder, and she says all these conditions need medication. You hear this? I can't believe this. It's unbelievable to me. How could we put up with this? These doctors are drug dealers, in my opinion. Drug dealers. You talk about Michael Vick killing dogs? To me, the doctors who work for the drug companies by getting these trips and whatnot and the grants to study this, they're worse than Michael Vick. But you won't hear anything about it because it's all part of the interlocking corporate directorships I've been warning you about. The same people who own the networks, own the cables, own the drug companies, are on the boards of the universities. They're on medical boards. And so certain people are never heard from. So lone voices like Michael Savage are very rare indeed. You understand why I'm not too popular in certain quarters of this country? But let me ask you something. Would the country be better off without independent voices? Would we be a better nation if every voice that was cynical and didn't trust authority was silenced? Well, the liberals of San Francisco think so. They're the ones who said question authority. Now that they're authority, they want to kill those who question their authority. That shows you what kind of liberals they are and the kind of real estate deals they do behind the scene. Criminal!
Savage.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail?
Get her off my show. Was she there too? In the tie-dye? They were all there. Here's Charles Schumer commenting on the resignation of Senator Larry Craig. He is the most honest man in the Senate. Just ask his mother. Listen to clip 14.
Everyone knows no party is without its blemishes.
Hold on. Hold on. Schumer admitted no party is without its blemishes? 2 months ago it was, we are going to be the most honest Congress in history. Get rid of those rotten Republicans. Feinstein, $382 million. Murtha, $186 million. Boxer, $152 million. Pelosi, $141 million. Obie, $96 million. Hoyer, $85 million. Go on. Let's listen to the rest of this hypocrisy.
Everyone knows no party is without its blemishes. The question is how you react to them. For 6 years there were no there was no ethics reform in the Congress when the Republicans controlled it.
Come on, please, Charlie. Yeah, you know, come on. You're a red-faced guy to begin with.
To deal with earmarks, to deal with campaign finance
earmarks
and bundling, and to deal with the lobby.
Is he crazy? Does he think that we're that stupid? Earmarks. The Democrats are raping the Treasury. Listen to Schumer in 15.
What the American people are looking for is not a blame game. Is this party worse than the other?
No,
but rather,
they're both rotten.
Who is trying to clean it up? And I think the record is clear. We're the ones trying to clean it up.
No. He's almost right. He said the record is clear that the Democrats are trying to clean up. He added one extra word. He meant that the Democrats are trying to clean up, and he got a Fomfitt, he put in it, clean it up. He meant the Democrats are trying to clean up, not clean it up. That's all. Earmarks. Are they kidding? They used to be called in high school during my review book years. I had a study in the social studies that I remember they said that Congress had become so corrupt, I think it was in the 30s, with pork barrel spending that a reformist came along and cleaned house. We're there again. This is so corrupt, it's incomprehensible. Hillary's donor linked to China missile trader Bernie Schwartz. God, look at him in all his glory. Look at the picture there, Bernie Schwartz. You thought he was like a new school, communist school, new school. Another guy, Kerry, runs it. The other Kerry, Bob Kerry, not the one from New England who looks like Ichabod Crane. Bush says, I cry a lot. Okay. I don't really believe that. Senator Patrick Leahy, Leaky Leahy, says he wants a type of I don't want to even listen to him. He gets me crazy altogether. President Bush addressing American troops during a secret trip to Anbar province in Iraq. That went over tremendously big. Waited for him to come out. He looked good, by the way. He looked very nice. I always dream of having a plane like that. Wouldn't that be great? Forget about private jet. You know, the whole thing is about Air Force One. I'm trying to think about the only perk anybody wants. Look, you got to put up with, like, getting knocked off, your family, the risk you put them at. But the only good part is Air Force One. Imagine having a plane like that. You could fly, like, it's got a bathroom, a gym, a toilet. Your dog has a toilet. Your dog has a bedroom. You got Secret Service, machine guns. You can go anywhere. Anywhere you want, you can go. And even Anbar Province, you can go and give a dumb speech. It doesn't matter. It's all about Air Force One. Poor guys over there, 140 degrees with 82-pound packs they got to schlep around in the sand. We could crush them with one modern weapon. We can kill the enemy. But in order for political reasons, we've got to make these poor guys from Tennessee do the job. So, look, there's 140,000 contractors, 120,000 troops. You do the math. Oh, we had a set piece at it, Dr. Gene Rogers. We'll save it for a day. I don't have any energy. Today I have plenty of energy. What do I have? We're still talking about Ritalin and over-medication. Huckleberry Finn today would be considered mentally ill. They put him on Ritalin. Now you got them approaching middle-age kids who were raised like this. In the old days, kids were active. Here's someone wrote, when a kid in the neighborhood was overly active, his parents gave him ice skates and a hockey stick. When a girl was overly active, they gave her tap dance or swimming lessons. Well, most of them became gym teachers in San Francisco. In the summer, we came home when the streetlights came on, took the bus to the beach, swam all day. Parents warned us, you better not hurt yourself, so we didn't. There were consequences to pay if we screwed up. Wait till your father comes home. That sentence struck so much fear in the hearts of kids, even though looking back, yet of course there were kids that grew up with that had Down syndrome or had autism, but behavioral problems were dealt with differently. Church, respect for each other, knowing that there were certain rules that you had to follow. Today, they just say it's ADD and they give you a pill. Then they grow up and become either a lawyer or a supervisor in San Francisco to make up for their rotten upbringings. They had psychedelics as kids, then they bipolar. And that was it. So that's what's going on in the world today. I'm trying to warn you to not put your children on these drugs. I'm trying to warn you. I'm actually begging you to read my book. Take it out of the library. I don't care what you do. Read it from a conservative person's over their shoulder, Healing Children Naturally. And actually, I don't want you to read Reducing the Risk of Alzheimer's. I want most of you liberals to wind up with Alzheimer's, so maybe you'll have a chance to save the country. You don't read the book. Don't believe a word I say. You know what? Don't use nutrition. Don't eliminate certain items. Get Alzheimer's. Do me a favor as fast as possible. You know what I'm saying? Don't read any of my books. Get Alzheimer's. See if I care. KNEW, San Francisco. Frank, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to let you know I'm going back to my brother's wedding. My family waited 30 years for me to get out of the twisted liberal mess I was in. I followed.
How'd you finally clean up and straighten out? What did it for you?
Yeah, what did it for me was a preacher I was listening to on the radio. And now,
really? Well, you know what? That's good. That's good. That's good. What do you recall what he said that reached you?
Yeah, he said that, you see, I was on methamphetamine for practically my whole life. So I started when I was a teenager. And
you didn't get a job for the city of San Francisco in the medical department?
I probably would have been an expert.
No, that would have been a qualification. Anyone with a real degree from somewhere, they don't hire. If you're a deviant or a drug addict, they put you right to the head of the class. So what did the preacher say?
He said to me that if you have some kind of addiction, whether it be porn, drugs, cheating on your wife, whatever it is, you have to pass it through God to get the power to get off of it, to get over that. And I started doing that 13 months ago, and my whole life has changed. And a lot of it was with the help of your insights, too.
Me? I had something to do with you? Well, now you're going to blame me if you go back home and see your family and something goes wrong. I'm going to get blamed.
No, it's going to be a great thing. They waited many years.
Maybe it was good that you didn't see him for 30 years. You never know what you're liable to get there.
No,
yeah, but at least you can laugh. You see, I'm testing you. I'm doing like the Michael Savage test. If you can laugh, I know you're healthy. Did you notice this in the years you were into that like progressive drug addict thing that people didn't laugh? They didn't know how to laugh?
Oh, I didn't know how to laugh. It was miserable. It was hell. That's how I found out about the true nature of liberalism, was following those dead shows around. It took me 30 years to find out the evil nature of these people. And
wow.
Now I see it. I see it truly.
They are evil. Frank, you know, I swear to God, when I saw what the supervisors are doing to this Ed Jew, it's heartbreaking. He's Asian-American, third generation, and interlopers from Hoboken, like Tom Amiano, say he's not a resident. You got creeps who pretend to be progressives who are saying he was out of the district when he was to take care of his wife after a double mastectomy at her mother's house. And they say they're progressive and compassionate, Frank.
Did Michael. They're twisted. I want to know how you found this out. How do you know, Michael? Because I know it in my heart and soul that these people are evil. I'd like to know how you found it out.
Because I have confronted enough of them to know that they're pure evil. I saw it in the 60s, truthfully, Frank. During the hippie era, I saw that a lot of the people who wore the tie-dye and smoked dope and this and that and professed love and peace, they were really out to rip you off, steal your old lady, or do harm to you. I saw the evil underlying it all. I saw a lot of the people who were so-called anti-war were some of the most violent people I had ever met in my life. And it really opened my eyes to it, to who they really were, Frank. They are pure evil. And many of them are still masquerading as liberals and progressives. You know that.
About to steal a lot more than just money or your wife. You know that? They're truly after the soul, these people.
Ah, now you're talking about the real evil. You're talking about soul stealing.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so you heard the radio guy and you were able to kick crank from religion?
Yes. 30-year crank habit. Been done for 30
I don't. Come on. Are you serious? Simply through the power of belief?
Oh, truly serious, Michael. It's I don't even like it or want to be around it. At my work, I work at Reno in the casino. I supervise the table games, and I see the people come in on it, and it's sickening to me. I see
wow.
it, and I see that I see there's like a the aura around them is horrible.
Oh, okay, no, I hear that. But Frank, hold on, I got to go back on this. This is a great caller in a way. You say you're an ex hippie. You followed the Grateful Dead. You were stoned. You were ripped on crank. You said speed.
Oh, well, when I was following the dead around, I did the acid and the mushrooms and all that garbage.
Okay. Now you say you've been clean for 13 months from hearing a radio preacher bringing you back to God, which means bringing you back to your basic, kind, good self. What do you think God does? I mean, when God is right, that's what you're talking about, is going back to the fundamental child in yourself that was good before you got, you know, misled and such. But you say you haven't seen your family in how many years?
No, I've seen them off and on, but them having me back as a straight person, not on that stuff.
I hear. In other words, the real you. So like when I said my line, when you look on my website, Old Hippies Never Die, They Just Become Ugly, and I show the picture of the people in the park over the weekend who are reliving the 60s, and I say, do you realize that every person you see in that picture is a tragedy to some family or other? It must have struck you, right?
Oh, very much so. Very, very much so. As a matter of fact, I'm going back to my little brother's wedding in Atlantic City in October. I'm taking 3 weeks off of work. And it's going to be a very nice reunion.
It is going to be nice because you're putting the right, you want to be there and you're going to have a good, I wish I could go back to a family reunion. There is no reunion anymore. They're all gone or the few people are scattered here. And you're lucky you have a family. People don't realize that, how lucky they are when the family's still together somewhere back east and you can go and there's a whole thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm from Long Island originally. And all those insights you have about the Catskills and all that, it really hits home for me. And
You're a nice guy. Frank, you're a nice guy. I'm sure you and I would enjoy chatting with each other. Let me send you a gift. I don't know what else to do. You know, we don't know each other. I'm going to send you, no joke, I'm going to send you the Freedom of Speech Award DVD, and you'll enjoy it. Teddy is even in it. Okay, stay on the line. That's all. During the break, by the way, I had my assistant come in and do a camera of Teddy with my hand in it talking to him. It only had 15 seconds of battery power, but you're going to see Teddy sleeping. Then my hand saying, Teddy, come here then. And we're going to put that up on the website because people said, please put the Teddy corner back. So we're going to switch the Old Hippies Never Die over to where Gonzalez is. Gonzalez is getting bounced from the website. I'm going to put Teddy on the video camera, video phone, whatever. What technology is like? To me, a guy like me, my age is like Dick Tracy, you know, two-way phone in your hand. So much invasion of privacy in the world I live in. My day, you could be private. You could just like walk to the corner. No one knew who you were. Today, there's cameras and the overhead satellites. Where is this going to end? It doesn't. No one knows where this is going to end. Probably ends with China taking over the world and taking out your kidney. I'll be right back.
Savage. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago.
Flower power, man. All power to the people.
Where
free speech movement.
Gone? Young
girls get that off. Old hippies never die. They just become ugly. We change the pictures again. Take a look. Good. Take a look for yourself on my website. And we put Teddy up. We just took another picture of him we're putting up now, laying there with a microphone. He didn't want to get up. He gets up at the end of the show. He's happy. What do you want to talk about? The perfidious nature, the perfidious character of progressives? Would you like to talk about that? Would you like to talk about the perfidious nature of the Clinton money machine? The perfidious nature of the Democrats like Schumer, who claim that they're cleaner than the Republicans? You know, you can say pot calling the kettle X. Are you kidding me? Feinstein, $382 million. Murtha, $186 million. What is that? Something like on my two-way. I have a two-way radio in my studio so I can talk to the assistant. I don't let anyone around me. I'm like Ludwig, King Ludwig II. I want to bang on the floor and have the food changed. Boy, those meatballs were good last night. Whew, they were good. I only had one bite because I'm on a new diet. I don't know how long this will last, till after the cardiologist. No, I'm proud of myself. I had only plain spaghetti last night and tasted my friend's dish. He said, no butter, no. No sauce, no. Because I saw an old Italian in Mulberry Street about a long time ago. It was late at night. We were eating ridiculously stupid Queens, like, idiot food of, like, Italian food. All right, give me the veal parmesan at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I'll have the veal piccata. Heart attackville. You know, the next thing is the arteries are like clogged 30 years later. This guy was skinny and he was pretty old and he was a tough looking old guy. And he worked in the restaurant. He owned it. I don't know. He was one of those guys that hung around in the back with the pinky and the coffee. And he had plain noodles with nothing on it. I didn't understand that, but I remembered it all my life. You sleep better. You don't have a bad nightmare when you eat light at night. All you need is some high carb and you go to sleep. It was very, he didn't need Ritalin and then a Valium. If he wanted to get jacked up, he had three espressos. He wanted to go to sleep, he had a glass of wine and a plate of pasta with nothing on it. They understood that food is medicine. They didn't need to read a book on it. They needed Dr. Schmuckler from NYU to tell him what to eat. You know, oh, yeah, well, what should I do for my skin? Do what your grandmother did, moron. Rub olive oil on it, idiot. You don't need a $12,000 lotion. Olive oil's wonderful on your skin. Slows the aging process down. You're not going to live as long as Methuselah. Anyway, you're still going to drop dead or something. I guarantee you're going to die. That's one thing I can guarantee you. And another thing I guarantee is you don't know where you're going to die. That's the only two things I can guarantee you. And the third thing is that the taxes in California are going to go up. And eventually the state will wind up imploding. And they'll all say that they're more honest than the other party vote for me. But what do you want me to do about all these problems? You see, I'm reaching a point of no return. There's nothing I can do about it all. Nothing. Even I'm giving up. We put this party in power. Look what they did to us. Take a look. Because if you read the article that I have up there about the amount of money the Dems are taking in, Feinstein, $382 million, Murtha, and blah, 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 that's only half the story. Take a look at what the Republicans are taking in. And poor Duke Cunningham's an enslaver for 9 years for a broken Rolls Royce and a half a yacht that was worth nothing. What he did with the house, by the way, selling it for less than it was worth, a certain supervisor in San Francisco did the same thing, and apparently he's getting away with it. Why? Because he wasn't a war hero. He was an anti-war protester. Duke Cunningham was an Air Force ace, so they rewarded him by putting him in jail for 9 years. But this certain San Francisco supervisor who did a house swap during the boom for less money than it was worth to wash a little money for someone, he didn't go to jail because he wasn't the war hero. You understand how it works? So if you read on, you see that the Republicans are doing pretty good, too. You know what I'm saying? You read the exact amount of money that's in there. Dianne Feinstein racked up $382.3 million and Boxer $152 million. But she's honest. She's honest. I'm honest. I'm honest. I'm honest. I'm honest. I'm honest. Me and Stu, we're honest. We're honest. But if you look at the Republicans, they haven't cut back either. Here's Barbara Lee, another great liberal, $32 million. It's like chicken feed. Sam Farr, Carmel, $24 million. Representative Mike Honda, $18 million. There's like, it's pikers compared to the big shots, you know what I mean? But even the Republicans here. Representative Jerry Lewis, not the one with the F word, of Redlands, the top Republican on the Appropriations Committee, you hear why they want to get on the committee? Pulled in more than Pelosi, $124 million. Representative C.W. Bill Young, the top Republican on the Defense Appropriations Panel, received $142 million. He and Murtha, who control the biggest pot of money, apply an unwritten rule. The majority party gets 60% of the earmarks. The minority party gets 40%. Doesn't that give you a kind, warm feeling about the war? And now you understand why there's no anti-war movement anymore. You get it? I told you how it happened. the Republicans were such pigs, they took most of it in on their for themselves. Democrats were screaming, anti-war, anti-war, get the steamed up coat pink, get all of the leftist stinkers, I rile them up, send out the buses, get them all out, get the civil rights movement going, and we got to get the anti-war movement stirred up. Then we'll get in office and we'll get some of the money. Boom, here we are. And suddenly there's no more anti-war. Bingo. Now the war is good. War is good. It'll go on for 30 years. The people do nothing. They got plenty of food, golf balls. What more do they need? As long as they have golf balls and food, what do they need? Nothing. Pelosi told the Wall Street Journal last year that the multi-billion dollar earmarking process had become, quote, a monster. Personally, myself, I get rid of all of them, she had said then. None of them is worth the skepticism, the cynicism the public has, and the fiscal irresponsibility of it. Oh, God. Oh, my God. I rest my case. I just rest my case. There's nothing we can do about it. Some people say, well, wasn't it always like this? Answer, no, was not always like this. In fact, it was once like this, only once before this bad. And then along came a reformer named Teddy Roosevelt who swept the house clean of all of the crooks. We do not have a Teddy Roosevelt. Instead, we have a glue horse, Fred Thompson, who goes on a two-dimensional comedian show to declare his president. So you hear? This is your idea of a reformer. An ex-lobbyist himself. So that's it. That's why there's nothing I can do for you. The perfidious character of this whole game here is beyond me. So I have to decide what kind of radio show I want to do tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. And with God's will and your listenership, with God's will and your listenership, I shall return. And you shall see the pictures of Teddy on my website. I just took a new picture. Oh, how cute. Look at that. The new picture. How cute.
Savage. Is it up yet?